sombra de un árbol y al compás de mi guitarra canto alegre este guapando.
It sounds so crazy ambient. Whoa, it's evolving as I listen to it. Oh, and today in the studio, I haven't even introduced the show. You're listening to REVC. It's Monday. It's noon. We're starting the week fresh.
Yeah.
And not only fresh, with new music. That yeah you just heard, who just said that yeah?
I'm Holly McLaughlin. I just said yeah. And today we're going to listen to my EP called Wooden Foot. It's a nice overcast but not very wet or windy day in Montreal, and I think it is perfect to listen to some music.
It is quite windy here. It is a little bit miserable. It was like raining last night, and then it was snowing.
Yeah,
it's been really on and off. But yes, this album is textural, it's full, and it's just not an album, it's an EP, so it's only 20 minutes long. We're going to go through the whole thing, track by track, over the course of this hour, and we are going to get to the bottom of this thing, and I hope you guys enjoy it just as much as I do.
Yeah.
And we're going to roll right into it. The first song is called Big Release Time. Is there anything you could say about it before we go into it?
It's about death. Also that song we just heard was Utopia and Visions by Don Cherry. Free jazz, spiritual jazz, underrated album.
It sounds great. Such great sounds.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear some more in this next thing. Here is Big Release Time off of Wooden Foot.
Death sad. The next, should it go back?
reaching sunlight, lots of him, so exciting at the end, big release time, eternal friend.
That was just Big Release Time, Holly McLaughlin, here in the studio to talk to us. And I'm just going to remind you, you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. The show is REVC. I'm Maxwell. We've got Holly here. You just heard that amazing song, and you might have heard slip in there a few times a bit of a Dylan impression. We were just talking about how much we love the poet laureate himself. But you said that the song is about death. Do you feel like the darkness of Dylan really resonates with you and that bleeds into your music?
Yeah, totally. Like, yeah, there's something with his lyrics where there's these images that are very dark, but they're sort of like, they're in this strange realm where they're quite absurd at the same time. And sort of this, like, it almost makes it easier to handle the darkness because it's so like poetically, like symbolically rich, like songs like Gates of Eden or It's All Right Ma are like, you know, they're devastating, but they're like, they're just so also like pleasurable to listen to the weirdness of the words. So it sort of like helps you like take that medicine almost. But yeah, the deathness of the song. I mean, I've never died, but I'd like to speculate about what might happen. And this is sort of like, okay, well, one way of understanding death is that it could be like a huge relief and we get to just finally like relax at the end. So yeah, it's kind of, I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think those Dylan songs can be so resonant because he's using these really powerful images, this really surreal imagery, like you said, but then it's backed up by these really powerful organ lines, mm-hmm. these guitar riffs that feel so powerful, even acoustically, and you feel like the entire song is like this driving force. And I'm getting that too from this, where you feel like throughout the entire thing, it's growing and growing. I mean, what was the process like actually recording this instrumentation? Was it planned out, or it almost sounds like you went back and kept adding and kept adding?
Yeah. So with the whole EP, it was like mostly live off the floor. So I did like, and then with overdubs over top, we recorded it with James Healy at Sudwest Recording Services or Studio Services. I forget the exact name, in Verdun. But we did a take with, like, I was playing the acoustic guitar and singing, and then we had upright bass at the same time, and then we had one of the layers of percussion and the electric guitar, I think, and we like did a take of that, and then we built more percussion on top, the violin we added in another day, and like harmonies. There's like the harmonies on the building lines in the chorus, we recorded them in the hallway because the acoustics were really interesting. And I was trying to layer them to sound kind of like the tone of like a train whistle. It's like very subtle in the background, but I was just trying to hit this specific note. But yeah, it was cool because the last album when I recorded it, it was literally just like all like each track we were recording on its own. But to do it, like base it off of like something live and be singing and playing guitar at the same time made me very nervous because I don't feel super confident in my guitar playing or in my singing and guitar playing at the same time. So to be like, well, I'm just gonna like, I have to just be cool with what it is and I can't cut up my voice a bunch and like comp it to be perfect. It just has to be what it was in that moment. It's like, it's a good way of sort of releasing a bit of that tight control.
I mean, Dylan brought a ton of that authenticity onto the stage, and you can feel it here. I mean, you can sense when listening to this song that there's not a single MIDI note. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like it was recorded in a room. And it's funny that you say that train whistle thing, because it kind of does sound like a bunch of stragglers on a train or something.
Yeah.
Kind of magnetic fieldsy, kind of just like going down the road. And you said that even though we're talking about these rock influences, and you talked about recording the previous album versus this one, I mean, how did your goals shift with this? I mean, did you have a completely different vision?
Yeah, so it was sort of interesting how it happened, because I originally wanted to make a whole album, and I had like 15 songs, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do all these songs and like try to make it work, and it's going to be kind of like the last one. It's just going to be like a big band album. And then somehow I just like was trying and trying to get in the studio and make it work with all these songs and figure out a band and everything. And it just wasn't working. And I kept like banging my head against a wall. And I realized that like a lot of those songs just didn't like, it wasn't that they weren't good, but they just didn't resonate with me anymore. Like there was a lot of anger in them and a lot of sadness in them, that it just felt sort of like not a productive thing to put that out into the world, because I wasn't feeling it anymore. So it wasn't as authentic. And then I'm like, okay, well, why am I going to be recording like my random anger from like 9 months ago when I could be recording something new? But then I had to make a sacrifice of these songs that like, you know, I worked really hard on, but it's like, okay, maybe I'll do something a little smaller. And then I was like, wait, I'm just not even going to like make an album. I'm just going to make like a weird ambient project, and I'm just going to record some field noises, field recordings by the river, and then just like put them in a little thing and just put it on Bandcamp and not tell anyone. But then I was like, okay, well, maybe that's way too far in the other direction. So I was like, I want to make something that's really like focused on the sonic like environment that's created, and I want the songs to sort of like just fit in like a space that I'm creating with these different textures. And that's why it was important that we didn't have a drum kit, and that the bass wasn't really crazy, and that I was playing the acoustic guitar and it was more subtle, because I wanted them to feel more like meditations on something rather than like statements or like, you know, things to really like get, like, not that you can't still get into it, and I think they are very full, but I was a lot more focused on just sort of creating a sort of an aroma,
an environment for each
an
song.
Environment, yeah, like a little waft of
a little
air.
Garden,
yeah,
a little
exactly.
Arcadia,
yeah.
All right, well, we just experienced the environment of big release time. How would you introduce the environment of You and My Dreams?
This one, the environment switches halfway through. You're sort of like alone in a field. And then a big flock of strange birds descends about halfway through. That's how I would describe it.
That's a great way to introduce it. Okay, guys, after the ads, You and My Dreams by Holly McLaughlin. Stay tuned.
Louis Daffrique presents two exceptional events in Montreal. The virtuoso Gambian kora player Sonu Jabarte on March 8th at the National, and the iconic Malian singer Umo Sangare on April 21st at MTELUS. Take advantage of a special offer by visiting festivalnuitdaffrique.com.
Hey, are you looking for an alternative to FM radio playlists? Then tune in to the World Beat News radio program right here on CJLO 1690 AM every Tuesday from noon to 1 p.m. to hear brand new world beat music from mainly Canadian artists. Call or text at 848-7471.
Touched my blood, painted me
God. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM Montreal. That was just You and My Dream by Holly McLaughlin. We've got her here right now. Tell us about that song. That shift halfway through is fun, but also after this devastating first half, it's almost like a recovery.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Oh, your mic's off.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've never thought of it as devastating before, but I love that reading. It is kind of devastating. This song is another sort of meditation on a dream. The first one was also based off of kind of dreams. This one's about a dream that I had about a friend of mine who's like a really brilliant artist. In the dream, there was there's some interesting things with like blood and paint and human bodies. But in the first half, I'm just sort of walking through the dream. And the second half has this repeating line that's just like, I know you in a different way, which is like the only way, like, this friendship is so so meaningful and so inspiring to me, and trying to, like, it's just so hard to articulate those things when someone means so much to you. So all the best way I could say it is, I know you in a different way, like different, I don't know how, but just different from the way I know other people.
It just is. It's signaturely different. You feel yeah. that attachment.
Yeah.
Do you think that is part of why the last half, we were talking during the song about how it sounds almost like a kind of Eastern European, like, film score,
yeah.
or maybe even drifting down into the Indian subcontinent.
Yeah.
Do you think that kind of that revelry that is traditional in that music is tied into that feeling of friendship?
Yeah, totally. There's sort of like a devotional aspect to it. And in the way of, like, I don't know, when someone is so inspiring to you, just in their way of being, it's sort of like, yeah, it's just a thing to celebrate and be very grateful for. And it's a gift, like, to have someone in your life who's, like, producing amazing art and just sharing these perspectives with you. It's sort of like, wow, it feels like you could just sort of, like, dive into the sort of chemical reaction of these two people, like, knowing each other. It's just like a sort of night sky that you can float away into. So yeah, there is a lot of, like, yeah, just love and, like, wow, like, I don't know.
Do you feel like when you see vulnerability in art, does that make you feel invasive? And that's part of the wariness of the song?
Invasive. That's such a good question. I feel like when I see vulnerability in art, yeah, when people are expressing their sort of inner experiences, because to me it's like, are you being vulnerable when you're making something taboo, or are you being vulnerable when you're just, like, expressing something that maybe people might not understand? Like, but it doesn't even have to be something crazy, but just, like, I don't know, something inner and yeah, invasive. I think to me, when someone is sort of, like, reifying their inner realm and being like, I find it a very brave thing that people do, because it's like, wow, you have this subtle, indescribable thing inside and you're trying to describe it because you want so badly to connect to others. So you're like, this little subtle feeling is important enough for me to make a drawing about it or make a song about it. And I'm like, wow, like, if they have that relationship to their inner world where they think it's worthy of documentation, that makes me want to sort of document my inner world in these different ways. And it just sort of gets me excited, like, wow, there's actually so much material to work with inside of ourselves. And if they're pulling it out, then I can pull mine out too. And like, oh, you have this real weird feeling inside of you. Oh, I have, like, a similar one, but it's kind of different. I don't know.
Well, we're about to listen to Studying Song. What relationship do you have with that one?
It's kind of the most emotional one to me. Well, it's the most sad one. But yeah, it came about from, I was just actually studying for an exam. And I was tired of looking at my computer all day. And I was like, where's my humanity? Where's my body? So this song is me sort of searching for that. And it goes back into childhood as a result.
All right. Well, you heard it. Here is Studying Song by Holly McLaughlin.
Pacific moon. Never again. Orange maple tree. Never again. Backyard just for me.
That was just Studying Song by Holly McLaughlin off of the new Wooden Foot. You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. I'm Maxwell. The show is RAVC. And guess what? She's still here. She's still here, still talking to us.
Hi, I'm still here.
So that was by far the slowest song we've heard so far, and definitely the most dramatic. Mm-hmm. But it still has the depth of the recordings of the other faster songs. Can you speak on a little bit what the actual recording process was like in terms of the people you worked with?
Yeah. So, yeah, I already talked about James, who is who was the engineer
in the hallway.
Sidwest. Yeah, in the hallway. It was mastered by Liam Choi. In terms of my band, I'm so, so grateful to have had these people play on it. We have Atsushi Ikeda on electric guitar. He's just like mastermind guitarist, really close friend. And M. Sheptiki, I always pronounce her last name wrong. But yeah, another like, and she's on violin, another amazing player. And then we have Isaac Seglins on upright bass. And did he, I'm like, maybe he did some of the percussion, or Matt did all of it. We were all just hanging out in the space, hard to know what was going on and who was playing what. And then Matt Sagar on percussion. And he also played clarinet on the end of Big Release Time. It's very subtle. And then Nelson Ducastel on keys. And yeah, that piano is at the, I think it's on the outro of Big Release Time.
And it's on Wooden Foot.
And Wooden Foot, yeah.
Oh, it's alive on Wooden Foot. You guys are going to love this.
Yeah.
That song, it's so personal. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you're really working through something when you write music that is so in depth?
Yeah, definitely. It's like really cathartic. Like it's something that I have to do. This song especially was just sort of like giving voice to just my like little 8-year-old self. It's funny, sometimes I feel like I tap into like different ages that I've been and the feelings that I have at those ages. But yeah, this one I was sort of just in conversation, I guess, with my like 8-year-old self. I was an only child and I was very alone and just I was a very sort of sad, anxious child. But when I was sort of at those moments of like deep, sort of intense aloneness, I was sort of at the edge of something, and it felt like, you know, there were some moments, I talk about it in this one, like Never Again, that specific moon when I like live near the lake, Lake Ontario, and I would go to the lake and just look at the moon. And it, and sometimes it did feel like there was something there, like there was some other, and that's what I've been trying to figure out. I'm like, is it, am I talking to God, the universe? Am I just talking to the moon? Like, not like there's a voice, but it's just this sense that like there is some other thing or presence beyond me and beyond just like the immediate material realm. So yeah, it's just going back and I'm like talking to that little child self and sort of soothing her at the same time as like just like listening to what she has to say, I guess.
I do not know the only child experience.
Yeah, it's a very specific.
I was very
one.
Lucky as a little brother. Mm-hmm. Very lucky. So what does studying mean to you? I mean, it's so intertwined with the song, so meditative, even the process, to think about it as this backdrop. What are those implications to you?
Yeah, well, it came from just like actual like school studying, but then it's sort of just like, I don't know, with my sort of, I don't know, I've been sort of encountered the mental health like sort of systems throughout my life and had different therapists and been on medication for different things, and I'm always trying to figure out like, okay, what's the best way for me personally as Holly to live a healthy sort of balanced psychic lifestyle, not psychic, but psychic of the psyche, mental lifestyle. I don't know.
Cerebral.
Yeah, cerebral, but I'm just like emotional. But yeah, I think the one thing that always comes back to me is just like, am I watching it myself and noticing the patterns and sort of studying, like the last line, I learned from my life, my studying song. It's like, well, if I have my journal and my pen and I can try to reflect every day on the ways that my insecurities and my doubts and my fantasies and my anger and my desire and all these different things are sort of inflating me and like running my life, if I can just study that a little bit rather than just believe it all the time and like go into it, like that can be very, it can be a little valve that lets out some of the air. Just studying, not in a way of like, oh, I'm doing something wrong and I have to correct it, but like, oh, noticing. I guess it's sort of like I've spent a lot of time with like Buddhist texts and just being like, okay, I'm just gonna notice this thing that I do, or notice this pattern of feeling and fear that I have, and just try to read it like I would read a book or something.
Yeah, sure. It's like being observant in order to reach a higher truth.
Yeah, exactly.
And that ties into the next song, Honestly.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about this one? Is that also searching for this sort of higher personal truth?
Yeah, this one is sort of inverted, because this is sort of like touching on, I guess, when I felt like I was thrown into a certain truth that maybe I wasn't even ready for. It was less like, oh, I'm gonna look around and try to find some higher perspective. This is more like I was playing with fire a bit and got thrown into something. But it's about recovering, rather than feeling like a victim of whatever happened to me, actually garnering a sense of power from having been through certain experiences. So yeah.
All right, well, you guys heard it. This next track is Honestly by Holly McLachlan, here with us. Stay tuned for more.
Thank you. Bone Sound is proud to present Shada Hayes. Discover the country folk of singer-songwriter Shada Hayes with Kindergarten Heart, an album as fun as it is profound. Available now on CD and colored vinyl. Shada Hayes will perform at Le Ministère on April 4th for the Kindergarten Heart record release show, sharing the stage with her band and surprise guests. Tickets are on sale now. For more information and for all tour dates, go to bonesound.com.
I say, what are you listening to there, old chap? Man, I'm listening to the Live Wire show on CGLO 1690 on your AM dial every Saturday from 9 till 10 in the morning.
As the man said, you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM, or you're tuned in across the World Wide Web at CJLO.com. I'm Maxwell. The show is REVC. We're here with Holly McLaughlin, and we just heard one of her songs right before this, Honestly. And that thing, it's so well arranged, but it's almost a cacophony of all these different layers that sound just otherworldly. Can you take it apart for us?
Yeah, so that one, there's a lot going on. My favorite part of it is the reversed violin. I think it gives it a really spooky, spooky quality. And then we've got like swiping, like Matt's hand is swiping on the bongos. And then there's, I forget what it's called, there's an instrument with a bunch of sort of shells or like nuts with little seeds in them on a stick. I forget the name of it. It's a very specific instrument.
Not maracas.
It's,
I know,
like,
what you're talking about, but I can't remember it either.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of layers there. This song, it's interesting. It's sort of about a conversation that I had with a friend of mine from a long time ago. And yeah, it's about, like, I had a very sort of interesting experience where I went kind of too deep into the psychedelic realm when I was about 18. And I was just, yeah, deep in psychedelic use for a while. And then it sort of pulled the rug out from under me. And then I ended up quite incapacitated, sort of passed through a threshold of sorts, and then managed to make my way back into this realm and get my feet on the ground and get back into my biology. But I always sort of, I don't know, for the years afterwards, I was made to feel, and I guess I sort of made myself feel like what I had gone through, because I ended up in the mental hospital after this foray into that world. And I sort of felt like, okay, now I'm sort of like, you know, I'm unhealthy because of it, or I'm a little more fragile, or a little like I'm a little less safe than I was before. I have to really watch my health in a way that I didn't before. I sort of saw it as this like psychic injury. And then I was talking to my friend who I knew when I was in that exploratory state, like years ago when I was living in San Francisco. And he was the first person to frame to me. He was like, wait, you think that you're somehow weaker because you've been through this? And I'll be blatant in the words, but he was like, the fact that you had a psychotic episode and made it out and are sort of sane now, sane air quotes, makes you so much stronger. And I was like, wait, it makes me stronger rather than weaker? No one's ever said that to me before. Everyone's been like, okay, well, you have to be really careful and watch out. And but he was like, no, like you've like been through, like you passed through something and now you have a perspective that a lot of people don't have, and you should sort of be proud of your having been there. Not that you want to go back, but then I wrote this song, and it's just sort of like, yeah, wait, I have been somewhere quite terrifying and quite just intense. And I somehow managed to pass through and get back to consciousness. And yeah, this is sort of reclaiming that power. And yeah, it's like I've stood in the gaping mouth of death. Like, I don't know, lots of people, whether it's like a mental breakdown or you've gotten really sick or something's happened, I think when people have been sort of close to death or close to sort of the edge of life in that way, there is something that you bring back from it that I think is very valuable. Yeah,
it feels like a continuing theme of this album is making it through something,
yeah,
and then looking back and realizing that it was ultimately for the best.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't be who you are now today without all these experiences, and you put it into the song. Do you think that those experiences contribute to the real otherworldly feeling of this track and thinking about this like flipped world?
Totally. Ugh, you're asking such brilliant questions. Totally. Yeah. I think there's actually this great line in this Kathy Acker book, and she's talking about pirates and she's talking about tattoos and sailors, but she's talking about how, like, she's talking about this other world, and she sort of in an interesting way equates like the sort of spiritual other world with the other world of like being a person who's sort of marginalized or pushed to the outskirts of society. And it's very interesting because it's like, yeah, this other realm that's imperceptible to people. You could think of it as being like, you know, accessible to, you know, shamans and priests and people who can, you know, supposedly who are more apt at tapping into that realm than others. But then also an other world is just like a different, I don't know, I guess we're all living in other worlds from each other all the time. But yeah, like being in a mental hospital and being with people who are really pushed out of our society and sort of like people that we say that we don't want to see and we don't want to interact with. Like there is another, I don't know, there's like the spiritual other world and the social other world, and these, they sort of overlap, I think.
They overlap, but they're completely intentionally secluded from one another.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of it is just about alchemy, really. Like the album is just like, how can I transform these experiences? And then as you're sort of doing that work of alchemy that we're all doing all the time just to survive, you start to notice patterns that are sort of, you know, people go through these experiences and then they come out with like sometimes similar things to say. And that sort of gives me a sense of spiritual comfort that like maybe on some level way out there, there's a sense that can be made of these things.
All right. Well, we're in our last 9 minutes.
Yeah.
So what would you say with this last track, Wooden Foot, the titular track? What world are we tapping into with this?
Yeah, so how long is the song? It's about 6.
It's 5:48.
It's 5:48. So I'll talk about it a little bit.
We'll have a minute to talk after.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, Wooden Foot is about being young and having, yeah, these sort of otherworldly experiences. But they were in this world. But yeah, it's about the second half of the song. I mentioned being 12 and being 8 years old. And when I was 12, I was put on Prozac for my depression, which is interesting because I had just gotten my period. I was very young. But yeah, it's sort of about just that question that I'm always sort of coming back to of like this, at the time it felt like the void. It's like, is the void real? Or am I just crazy? Like, is there a big vacuum out there in the universe, or is something just a little wrong with me? And I think maybe it's both, you know? But yeah, this is me trying to make sense of that. And yeah.
All right, let's hear it. Wooden Foot by Holly McLachlan.
in my tomb. Vision or
I wish we could say more about that conclusion if we did not have a minute and 10 seconds left. Oh my God, but the way it builds and then it crescendos with the little riff at the end, it's very, very eloquent. And the rest of her stuff is amazingly eloquent. And if you loved that, like I know you did, I know you want to go spend your hard-earned money on Bandcamp and support the artist, or you can stream it on Spotify. But you should get it on Bandcamp and send some money Holly's way.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you like the EP. If you like it, find my contact and send me a message and we'll talk about it.
What's your Instagram?
My Instagram is Holly_McLaughlin. So yeah, and keep making music. I hope that when you listen to music, it makes you want to make your own music or art or whatever you want to do. Yeah, and thanks so much, Maxwell.
Thank you so much, Holly, for coming in. Shout out CJLO.
Yeah.
I will be with you guys next week, but Holly will not be here, unfortunately. Yeah.
Also, I'm playing a show March 16th with Avalon, Teshany, and Sasha K.
You heard it. March 16th. That's the final message.